Thank you to Sean Salisbury for joining us. Coming up in about 40 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win Guns N' Roses tickets. In November, Golden One Center, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can text us over at 44-1140. Matt Barrow is going to talk San Francisco 49ers with us as we get ready for football camps to open. Sorry, I'm very excited. Football camps open. That means college football is around the corner, and then NFL is around the corner, and then you've got NBA preseason, and then it's going to be cooler. It's all about weather for me because we've got a stretch coming up of about 20 days of 100-degree weather. I see a camp open. That tells me there is a light at the end of this hot-ass tunnel, and summer is leaving. Thank God. When I think summer and sunshine, I think of Mitch in New Jersey. Hey, Mitch.
How we doing, guys?
Hi, buddy.
Lovely day out here. Hopefully he's out there, too, west of the Mississippi.
It's hot.
Coast. It's hot.
Just kidding.
Okay.
Both coasts are great.
Yes.
First on basketball, you mentioned about Phoenix. There's no way they're going to give up Devin Booker. I don't know what leverage does Cleveland have. And can you imagine Irvin and Booker on the same team? That'd be something. I think they can give him Bledsoe and throw in a future Hall of Famer in Tyson Chandler. I think that would that'd be a fair deal for Cleveland, I think, because he'd be walking in a few years besides LeBron.
Gotcha.
I don't know that Tyson Chandler is a future Hall of Famer, do you?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I was just rolling with it. No, he's not. But I would agree with this. Kyrie Irving and Devin Booker would be a pretty damn scary backcourt. There's no doubt about that.
It would, but it also begs the conversation. Devin Booker is without a doubt the focal point of that team, and Kyrie Irving wants to be the focal point. So is there any issue there?
I think Devin Booker would – I think they play off each other pretty damn well. And if I'm Phoenix, by the way, you know what? If I'm Phoenix, I'll trade Eric Bledsoe and Josh Jackson for Kyrie Irving. I'll do that. I'd do that in a heartbeat. Sorry. Here you go, Cleveland. You're going to find a better deal than that. We'll give you a point guard replacement. We'll give you a Josh Jackson, who could very well be a badass. And we're going to go ahead and roll with 25-year-old Kyrie Irving and what is he, 21-year-old Devin Booker? Yeah, there's our backcourt.
Yeah, I think he's 20, right?
I think he is 20. And he looks 14.
I know.
I'm fine with that if I'm Phoenix. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to go ahead and weigh in on the conversation about concussions and tie that to the career path and life path that people select for themselves. I'm an athletic trainer and a physical therapist and work on the field for approximately 15 years. I no longer do so, but to have a fairly decent experience base in that area. And I think that, excuse me, too. Ignore the fact that post-concussion events lead to lifetime change. I think we can apply some neuroscience to this, but I think common sense prevails. And I think that for athletes, could be in peewee football, high school football, college, post-college, in other words, pro, accept the responsibility and the fact that it's a fairly violent game. There are risks. A gentleman called in earlier and said that people pick their professions. I completely agree. If a person wants to go ahead and have the opportunity to make a very, very good life for themselves financially, there's inherent risks that are associated with that. That's the risk that people take. I think that for the NFL to assume a position other than that.
Kirk, let me stop you because we have a guest coming up, but I want to get a chance to ask you a question back. I'm sure. With you on, listen, you play in the NFL, you're an adult, you get it. We may not know the extension of the injuries, and we need to do more there, and there needs to be more safety, but you're going to have the same issues with CTE in boxing, in MMA, in soccer. It's not just football. But here's what I can't reconcile. Sure. You mentioned peewee football. So how do we reconcile the fact that we don't quite know all the long-term effects from kids playing in elementary school, junior high, and high school? So how do you can't tell me that a kid who's 9 years old, 15 years old, 17 years old, that they're going to be fully aware of all the risks and they're going to be able to make a decision. It's the same reason why we don't let them drink. It's the same reason why we don't let him smoke. So what do you do other than cut off football before the age of 18? That's the issue I have.
Well, Dave, how would you go ahead and address any other type of decisions that a child, presumably less than 18, would go ahead and engage in? It's parenting. I mean, ultimately, the parents then they value the potential risk. And you know, I don't have a son; I have a daughter. But I then, as a parent, would have to weigh out that risk.
You and I would weigh out those risks, Kirk, because we're supposedly good, thoughtful parents. But the problem, again, that I have is that you've got a lot of parents out there that either aren't in the position, aren't educated enough, or quite frankly, don't really weigh the, you know, hey, football, it's man sport, we're going to play, I played, my grandpa played, my great-grandpa played, you know, that type of thing, where we're now entrusting parents. You mentioned construction workers. Well, there aren't a lot of 9-year-old kids doing construction and breathing in all the crap. You don't see a bunch of kids out being junior firefighters and breathing in smoke. That's my issue, is I don't trust parents necessarily to make the proper decisions across the board for their kids. And that's, again, where you come into an issue and why you have age limits for many jobs.
I agree, David. But, I mean, that part of the conversation is a little bit different
sure.
than the one that we're having on a college and a pro level. My initial reason for calling in is really to address the lawsuits and litigation that take place after the math, after people clear millions of dollars in their contracts, to then say, hey, you know what? In addition to that, I now am saying that this job that afforded me and my family this lavish lifestyle, I now is going to come after you and say, hey, I don't agree with the conditions that I was subjected to earn that. And I think we're in a little different spot now than we were 5-10 years ago, maybe as recently as 3 years ago. Particularly since the movie with Will Smith, I think that really has kind of elevated people's sense of vigilance and knowledge in this area.
Thanks, Kirk. We appreciate it. I actually have something to say in response to that about the lawsuits thing. I had an injury that ended my basketball career. The injury technically occurred my rookie year in the WNBA, and it wasn't until years later that I found out from the doctor that actually treated me that the team failed to inform me of what his actual diagnosis was. They put me back out on the floor. They said I was fine. They treated me. They did not tell me that the doctor's recommendation was for me not to play.
Sure.
So when you talk about players assuming risk, you also have to consider the fact that these are assets for teams. And you're using team doctors, and more now you see guys getting outside, you know, recommendations from doctors outside of their sport. So it's important to understand that there is also some wonky stuff going on behind the scenes where they're not being forthright with their athletes because they're an asset and they want to squeeze out as much as they possibly can from them. Just consider that.
I agree. There's responsibility on both sides. There really is, and both sides could do a lot better. We'll get to the 49ers right now, writing for the Sacramento Bee for a long, long time, graduated University of Virginia, journalism degree from Northwestern, and you know what? An all-around good guy. It's Matt Barrows. Matt, it's Dave and Katie. Welcome to a new season of NFL football. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well, yeah. It is finally upon us. That long interim between the spring and the summer practices is about to end. Thank God.
I hope you had a good, relaxing off season. I hope you had masseuses massaging the typing fingers and all the things that the athletes and journalists have to do to relax and get away before you get back into the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. I had my fingers manicured the other day. They're limber, they're loose, they're ready to go.
Matt, right off the top, your article at sacb.com, your latest one, is really intriguing, I think, for Niner fans. Reuben Foster expected to be a full go. And just to recap, this is a guy that allegedly, had Solomon Thomas not been available where he was, the Niners would have possibly grabbed. He fell because of the shoulder. There were reports that the shoulder surgery didn't take. You say in your article he's been rehabbing in Santa Clara. Is this true? I mean, is this guy really a full go and going to compete?
Yeah, he's going to be out on the field just like everybody else. And to me, it's the most intriguing battle of training camp, and he's the most intriguing figure because of everything you just said. I mean, the background on this goes even deeper than, you know, what I put in that story, in that the 49ers have not had a good track record in drafting injured guys in recent years. Last year, Trent Baalke stood up at the podium and after they had drafted a guy named Will Redmond in the third round, and he had an ACL. And he insisted over and over again that Will Redmond would be ready for training camp that year. Well, Will Redmond wasn't ready for training camp, and he didn't play at all during the season. His knee never got well enough. So whether it's the GM or the medical staff or whatnot, there has been a lot of missteps as far as injured guys. And this is the most high profile of all of those. And the 49ers medical information apparently is at odds with other teams. So it's very interesting from that respect alone. And then throw in the fact that he was the best linebacker in college football last year, and is now on a team that was dying for inside linebackers a year ago. So it just makes for a whole slew of interesting storylines, and he'll be a very fun guy to watch this summer.
Well, and looking deeper at that battle, so he battles with Malcolm Smith, who they just brought in, a guy who's supposedly familiar with the system. And you mentioned in the article, the winner of that battle lines up most likely at Mike next to Navarro Bowman. Does Malcolm Smith still have a pretty decent edge here, or do you think this is truly a zero sum, you know, guy, rookie versus free agent? Doesn't matter. They're both at an equal playing field right now going into training camp.
Yeah, if you had asked me a couple of months ago after they drafted Reuben Foster in the first round, I'd say, yeah, of course the first rounder is going to win that job and he's going to start. But after watching the spring drills, Malcolm Smith was the best defensive player out there. And you have to, you know, factor in the fact that, you know, there's no hitting and whatnot, so linemen aren't going to really show up. You know, they signed Malcolm Smith for two reasons. One, he's familiar with this defense, having played in Seattle in the past. And two, he's one of the fastest inside linebackers in the league, and that really showed up in the spring when there's a lot of, you know, pass plays and he's having to cover tight ends and running backs and whatnot. He really showed up. That speed really showed up. And so it just ramps up that competition even more. You've got a guy who's a really good fit in Malcolm Smith versus a guy who's a really good player, you know, to put it bluntly, in Reuben Foster. And so that's why that's going to be the number one battle this summer if both guys stay healthy.
Matt Barrow, Sack B, joining us this morning on The Drive. We've mentioned Solomon Thomas a couple times just in this conversation, but one of the things, he remains unsigned at this point going into training camp. What's the status there, and how much time do you think he'll miss before that gets done?
Well, there are two templates for that. One is Joshua Garnett, who was a first-round pick last year, and he is represented by the same agency, CAA, Tom Condon, that represents Solomon Thomas. And he signed on the eve of training camp last year. So just before the first practice, he signed and didn't miss any practices. And then there's Joey Bosa, who is the third-round pick or the number three overall pick a year ago by the San Diego Chargers. And he also is represented by CAA and Tom Condon. And he missed a lot of time last year, including games into the regular season. So, you know, that starts to become a big story on Friday when that first practice gets underway. My sense of the situation is that it'll be closer to Joshua Garnett than Joey Bosa. But frankly, I don't know. I don't know exactly where that negotiation stands at this point. It would be a really the first bad news type of storyline for the Lynch-Shanahan team if that holdout does go into training camp in the preseason.
Well, Matt, and speaking of defense, that was the most glaring deficiency on that team last year. Do you feel that the 49ers made the necessary moves in the offseason to get significantly better defensively?
Yeah, and part of that is just guys being healthy. Navarro Bowman coming back from the Achilles, Eric Armstead coming back from his shoulder issue. I think that unit, you know, has the potential to really bounce back. It's probably a little bit still too green with DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead and now Solomon Thomas being very much in the early parts of their career. But, boy, over time you would expect that team and, you know, throw Reuben Foster into the mix now to be very good. And, it should be one of the better units in the league in coming years. But it probably will be the coming years before it really starts to gel and become Seahawks-like in the future.
Matt Barrows joining us on KHDK. Matt, unfair question to ask, you know, before training camp.
Oh, go, starts. By all means, go ahead.
But of course I'm going to ask you, Matty. You know, I say anytime we have you on, you've always had the pulse of that franchise. You're around them constantly. And when you look at the last few years, the Harbaugh, the end of Jim Harbaugh, then Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly, Jed York, you know, and all that, just that garbage that was going on. Are you at all sensing, even in the off season, for lack of a better term, kind of a lifting of the veil, a deep breath? Do things seem so far under the Lynch and Shanahan very young era a little bit more relaxed or professional, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no two ways about it, and you hesitate to lavish too much praise on a couple of guys who have yet to play a game with the 49ers. So, but to me, everything they've done so far has been correct. Whether it was holding off on a Kirk Cousins trade, what they did in free agency, the draft, everything has been, to me, the right moves. And I think we've been talking about Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Both those picks go to, you know, not just talented players, but a changing of the atmosphere, a changing of the attitude inside the 49ers locker room. I think that between the Harbaugh era and the end of the Chip Kelly era, the 49ers lost a lot of tough guys, for lack of a better term. Whether it was, Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, Frank Gore, Anquan Boldin, and they didn't restock them. I think that was a very much a missing element, and I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan recognized that right away. And as far as restocking the pond, it's been with that type of guy in mind. Pierre Garçon is a skill position player, but he also has that tough guy mentality. And, to me, that was the difference between the glory days under Harbaugh and these last few years wandering around in the desert. He just didn't have the right type of guys on the field, and I think they recognize that. And they're remedying that. So I think that was probably the best thing, and really the sign that 49ers fans should take that things are changing. That you've got two guys who know what's wrong with this team and are doing things to rectify that situation.
Matt, when you look at the quarterback situation, is Brian Hoyer really the guy, or is he just clearly the guy for right now?
Yeah, I would say it's the latter. I mean, to me, what he did in Texas a few weeks ago, or just a couple weeks ago, which was holding basically a mid-summer break camp for all the skill position players, that to me was a brilliant move. It not only keeps everybody sharp going into training camp, but it establishes him as a leader on this team. And it's reminiscent of that camp that Alex Smith held in 2011 during the players lockout, or during the NFL lockout, that was sort of a springboard for that surprise season that they had. Now, I don't think that the 49ers are going to go to the NFC Championship game and lose in overtime to the New York Giants, but I thought it was a good move, and it just kind of keeps the 49ers options open if Kirk Cousins ends up signing with Washington or some of their other options go by the wayside. Maybe Brian Hoyer establishes himself this year. I think it was a step in the right direction.
Talking about the other the top two rookies, we're missing one that you mentioned, Akilah Witherspoon, the kid out of Colorado, and going into that secondary, I thought it was very interesting when you said there were some nicks and bruises, so he got a chance to play with the first team. And they were impressed with his footwork, which in part was honed by years of playing soccer, that this kid may very well compete and possibly overtake Dante Johnson for one of the starting spots.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of physical talent, it's, you know, Kello Witherspoon is in a class of his own. For him, it's just like any other rookie. He didn't play a lot. He only played one season of high school football. He was something like 100 pounds basically going into his junior year, so he didn't really mature physically until late in the game, a very late bloomer. So he's sort of still playing catch-up, and he's still putting on weight. I mean, I think he's 205 pounds, and they think he's going to top out at 210, 215, which is absolutely huge for a cornerback, but he carries his weight well, and he's almost the twin physically right now of the other starter at cornerback, Rashard Robinson. So that's the archetype that they want, one of these tall, long-arm guys who plays press coverage. And certainly Dante Johnson fits that role, but Akello Witherspoon, like I said, he's just elite in terms of physical skills, his speed, his footwork, all of that. And really, I think, you know, if it's not week one that he's a starter, he's going to be the starter by the end of the season this year.
Last thing for you, Matt, coming from the text line, it's a good question. Is your feeling that the 49ers are still somewhere in the back of their heads in bed with Kirk Cousins, or do you think they're buoyed by the fact they may very well have a chance at a Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold?
I think it's all of the above. I mean, I think they're in a position, they put themselves in a position to go either way, really. You know, as far as Cousins, they're going to have the most salary cap space of any team next year because their huge cushion this year will roll over into 2018. So if Cousins is an undrafted or an unrestricted free agent, you know, they can offer him the most money. And as far as Rosen or Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, the kid at Wyoming, the 49ers picked up an extra second and an extra third round pick in the upcoming draft. So they have the ammunition to move up if need be to get one of those guys. So it could be both. I mean, who knows? And then the other part of the equation is Hoyer, which you guys asked me about earlier, and C.J. Beathard.
Yeah.
I believe that Kirk Cousins back in 2012 started a game his rookie season. If it wasn't his rookie season, it was the next year. And he wasn't an established starter at that point, but they got a look at him, and they were able to see something in him early on at that point. And maybe that happens if the 49ers are out of the playoff picture, if they're struggling in December. Maybe C.J. Beathard gets a start or two in December, and they can kind of look at him and figure out whether they were right, whether they've got something in him as well. So basically what I'm saying is they've kept their options very much open to go down several different avenues, with Kirk Cousins being one of them at this point in the season.
You're not going to get any better coverage on the 49ers than with Matthew Barrows, sackbee.com. Just click on sports, click on Niners, and you're going to see all his great stuff, including the article we just started with, talking about training camp opening up and all the exciting battles, including Reuben Foster maybe being a full go. Matt, we always appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you throughout this football season. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
That's Matt Barrows. We'll take a break. When we get back, well, we got Guns N' Roses tickets in about 15 minutes. We'll recap some of the stuff we've talked about today, including a major groundbreaking coming in Sacramento tomorrow, the MLS on the horizon. We've also got some sound for you, including Adam Silver on betting on sports. Jerry Jones sees no evidence. He's closed his investigation
None.
Of Ezekiel Elliott. And what a sports announcer should probably never say when he's or she is announcing a game when it comes to wishing ill will on other teams' players.
No.
We have that sound next. It's the drive back in three. Sports 1140 KHDK. Guns N' Roses tickets in about 10 minutes. Yesterday, the White Sox took on the Cubs in Chicago. Get it? Of course, they're going to be in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's White Sox and Cubs. That was a joke. John Lackey hit four batters, including three in one inning. Chris Bryant was handed his first career ejection. It was a goofy game. John Lackey, of course, pitches for the Chicago Cubs. Hawk Harrelson is the announcer, very famous homery announcer for the White Sox. And he wasn't having any part of it. So here's one of Lackey's hits by pitches here. Then later on, here's Hawk Harrelson again. Now, listen, Hawk Harrelson is, depending on who you talk to, either an embarrassment to the profession or a national treasure. he certainly, White Sox fans swear by him. I think we take for granted. Sometimes you hear like, oh, those Kings announcers are homers. No, they're not. They're really not. There are homer announcers in this world, and Hawk Harrelson is perhaps the homeriest. I don't know if that's a word or not. But you generally...
Homeriest?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Homeriest? The homerist. You generally don't make a practice, though,
I think
of,
they say the biggest homer.
There you go. Whatever. I'll wear it. You generally don't make a practice of openly rooting for other pitchers to get or players to get hit by your team. But, hey, that's the fun of Hawk Harrelson. Earlier in the week, we were talking about Damian Lillard and his response when asked about the Kyrie Irving trade rumors.
Uh-huh.
We now have audio on that. Katie just informed me we had that audio earlier in the week.
See
how quick she is to throw me under the bus.
I played that audio for him during a break.
You did?
And I went directly into Matt and said, hey, I emailed
Matt
you the
audio. Look at Matt nodding.
Good boy, Matt.
Yeah, why is it anytime I have a chance to throw you under the bus, you throw a fit how I shouldn't throw you under the bus? And then
you
the first chance
throw
you
me
get,
under the, bus,
the first
though.
Chance you get, we
you
just had an incident
the, you
today.
You threw me under the bus with the Omer Asik pronunciation.
The texters threw you under the bus. You called him Omer Asses.
I did not.
That's what he said.
I didn't.
I just read the text.
Okay, but you
that
read it.
That wasn't me.
He couldn't read it live on air. He sent it to the show. You read it. That's
oh, you're
me
saying
under the
I
bus.
Shouldn't have read it.
No.
Because
I'm like,
nobody
I don't
would have
care.
Noticed
you throw me under the bus
about
all
your,
the time.
I was,
quit being a big baby.
I was half. If I'm a big baby, then why can't I share what I got from you earlier today?
What I
that you told me not to send out. Why can't I share that?
You didn't get it from me. You stole it from
I
me.
Got,
There's
okay,
a difference.
Well, you know, glass houses.
And I'm the child on the show.
Glass houses.
Well, age-wise, but maturity-wise, it's totally us. We own that, Matt.
Chauncey
Speaking
Billups.
Speaking of throwing people under the bus, look what Matt just did to us.
Yeah, shut up, Matt.
And backed it over.
Nobody's talking to you.
I can't drive a bus too big.
Chauncey Billups also was aware of the Kyrie Irving situation when he was interviewing for the GM job.
Here's what the Kyrie Irving response to the question was. The question directly was, if you were on a team with LeBron James, would you ask to be traded or would you want to be traded? And he said, I don't know what it's like to play with LeBron James, the person.
Who are we talking about?
The Kyrie Irving, the original sound.
You're talking about when Damian Lillard was talking about Kyrie Irving? Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And what jumped out at me, which is why I played it for you originally, is just because, you know, I thought there was kind of an interesting statement in what he's saying without saying it. Like, hey, who wouldn't want to play with him? He's the best player in the world, but I don't know what it's like to play with LeBron James, the person. Which to me sheds a little light on what the same rumors that you heard when Jimmy Butler was wanting to be traded there, and then members of the Cavaliers team reached out to him and said, hey, man, you don't want to come here. And so it begs the question.
And I thought you were looking for something that probably wasn't there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I thought you were assuming.
That's why I was
based
like,
on
is
that.
It just me?
Yeah.
Is it just me? Like, I took that. I was like, whoa. That perked my ears
just,
up a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Know if it was just you, but I do think Lillard spent a lot of time saying, oh, my God, you know, he's the greatest player. Who wouldn't want to play with him, go to finals, win championships, and doing all this stuff?
But
and
I don't know what it's like to play with LeBron the person.
Yeah, and I didn't take that as a shot. I took that as, I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I've never played with him before. You think he was throwing
but
shade.
In the context of the question, I did. I did think that it spoke a little bit deeper into what could possibly be going on there.
Larry Fitzgerald, we're just going to jump around here. I saved this quote from yesterday. We didn't have time to get to it. Was asked, of course, training camp's opening. He was asked about the possibility of this being his final year. I love Larry Fitzgerald, and I love his answers. Larry Fitzgerald continues to be one of my favorite athletes in the history of sport.
He's such a good guy.
He really, to me, he's football's Tim Duncan without the championships. He's good. He's seemingly ageless and timeless. And
he's not good. He's great.
He's
a great
first ballot Hall of Famer.
Player.
And much like Tim Duncan, he said this. Pretty sure Larry will just fax in, "I'm retiring." And that's it. Whatever he does after the NFL, I'm going to follow. He's going to be awesome. We'll take a break. Rebrew is next right here in the Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Rebrew time. Before we get there, as we'll be doing for the rest of the week, as promised, we have Guns N' Roses tickets just like we did yesterday. It's very simple. We only want these tickets to go to Guns N' Roses fans. And any Guns N' Roses fan can tell off a half a second what this song is. Matt George, please play the clip. That's it. That's all you got. That's all you got. Katie, you got it?
No, no clue.
It is. The phones are going to light up at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. One more time. Play that clip, please. That's all you need. That's it.
Not really much.
I don't even care about giving a hint because I'm telling you, anybody who's a GNR fan knows it. It contains, to me, it is my favorite guitar solo ever. Not the best, not the most artistic. No.
I thought Prince had the best one at the Hall of Fame.
Sends chills up my spine every time I hear it. Every single time I hear it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. All right, rebrew number one. New rule. No, nothing from 6 a.m. to 6:30 can ever go on the rebrew again.
Well, then we should just toss out the segment. Right?
Yeah. That's basically the whole thing. Rebrew number two.
It's fifth and four.
It sucks, too, because we didn't have the music.
Did you do that on purpose?
He's got to pull it out for the podcast.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, he has to pull it out.
Rebrew number three. Snow Hair Fairy. Snow Hair Fairy is going to roll around and, you know, grab the balls of hair out of my room that my wife haphazardly tosses around. Adam.
Gentlemen and Katie.
Hello.
We played a clip, and Matt, would you ready that clip for us, please, once again? We played a clip of a Guns N' Roses song. It was just a split second, but as I'm sure you'll agree, any Guns N' Roses fan worth their salt would know the answer to the question, what is this clip? Let me play it here. What is that song, Adam?
That would be November Rain.
November Rain, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Right. Congratulations. You've got yourself a pair of tickets to go see Guns N' Roses. You'll fire that song.
November 18th.
You get November
Golden
Rain.
One Center.
November 18th. That'd be awesome if it rained.
GNR.
I said that before. KHDK.
That's what you call it, right?
GNR. Okay. That's right. Guns N' Roses.
Awesome.
More info at KHDK.com. Adam, I'll see you out there, buddy. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Really?
God, I love this song. I love every part of it. I love the video.
Let me see if I've heard it before.
Of course. If you've never heard the song before, we're literally not friends anymore. Like, our friendship is riding.
Don't threaten me with a good
time,
buddy.
I'm telling you, it's riding on this. Of course you've heard this song. The video was great.
What year did this song come out? Tell me that.
Oh, God. You know? It would be a 93? 90.
Now look it up and see.
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, none of this sounds familiar to me. Like, literally none of this.
The video was Stephanie Seymour's ex-girlfriend.
Dude.
91. Was off by 2 years.
I mean, keep talking because I don't. Nothing. Is there words in the song?
Off the Use Your Illusion double album, here's Axl Rose. Oh, you know
is
what?
Is there words in this song?
Yeah, there is right here.
I don't think so.
There's literally no way you haven't heard the song November Rain. For Matt George.
I've been concussed.
For Sean Salisbury.
I can't remember.
For Matt Barrows. I'm not even crediting you for the show.
And
I'm
Katie
Carmichael Dave.
Woohoo!
We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. This is Sports 1140.